It's snowing on Christmas Eve. Hearts young and old are smiling. Stockings are hung, carols have been sung, and it's snowing on Christmas Eve. Laughter and snow fill the air. The season is bringing its treasures. The magic it weaves, the joys we receive, it's snowing on Christmas Eve. The snow piles high on a cold winter night as children are tucked into bed. And if you're where it's warm, the greatest of storms can be conjured up in your head. It's snowing on Christmas Eve. Hearts everywhere are smiling. Santa is near, soon he'll be here, and it's snowing on Christmas Eve. It's snowing on Christmas Eve. Hearts young and old are smiling. Stockings are hung, carols have been sung, and it's snowing on Christmas Eve. Yes, it's snowing on Christmas Eve. It's snowing on Christmas Eve.
It's Snowing on Christmas Eve, the name of that song from a new record called It's Christmas. It features the vocal talents of Brianna Kay and the songwriting talent of Ray Miner. Ray is head of RDSE Records and also Miner Family Band Music Publishing. And this CD is just out. We have both of those participants on the show with us today, the show being live and local here on FM 90.9. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Brianna Kay, currently at SIU Carbondale, working in a program in cinema studies. And Ray has been active as a songwriter, well, for a long time, let's say, since sometime in the 70s.
Yeah,
at least.
Late 70s is when I started.
As a songwriter?
Yes, right. I started writing songs in the late 70s and pitching them in Nashville and going up and down Music Row, and did that for a while, a few years. Then I got married, had kids, pulled away from it for quite a while, and then got back into it in the late 90s again.
Tell me about pitching. What does that mean exactly?
Going around to publishers and knocking on doors and seeing if you can get anything listened to and seeing if they like it well enough to record it. So you would plug songs, the originals that you wrote up and down the Music Row down there. And some people would listen, some wouldn't. Those who would listen would talk to you about them, give you some suggestions, ideas. For improvement, maybe, how to change something, how to make something more catchy. Whatever they were listening for, if they didn't hear it, they would tell you what they thought they wanted. Some liked the songs. Some would take them to some other person to listen to and say, what do you think about this? And just did that for a while and came back here the second time around in the 90s. And I thought, I want to do some recording. I want to get some of this out there because I was never a singer. I didn't consider myself a singer. So I always wanted someone else to do the recording. And it got to the point where I wanted to get these out there badly enough that I sang them myself. And we did an album called Old Dog, New Tricks here at Pogo with Mark Rubel Engineering. That was in the late 90s, 98, 99, 2000. I think it was released in 2001. And over the course of time, in the last 10 years or so, I started writing Christmas songs and I had 6 Christmas songs written, and I wanted to have a female vocalist on those. And that's when I started looking for a singer, and that's how Brianna and I hooked up through a mutual friend who's I heard Brianna sing, and I thought, this is the gal that I really think I want her on this. And that's how we met, and that was a couple of years ago.
And we just heard the official product of that.
That's it.
Of that, and we'll hear more coming up in a little bit. Let me ask a little bit more about this song pitching thing, because I'm kind of curious about the ins and outs of it, and also the, I imagine, the stresses of it and the risks of it, and I hope some successes, or not.
Well, not to ever have anything cut. I never had anything cut, but part of that is I never lived down there in Nashville, which, if you talk to anyone, that's the thing that you have to do. You have to basically be there, or be there so much that people are surprised to find out you don't live there when they find out you don't live there. So I never did that. So I was never able to form those relationships that you need. You need to get to know the people in the music industry, but more importantly, I think they need to get to know you. And that I never did. So I would go down and pitch songs, like I said, to the publishing companies in hopes that they would hear something they liked well enough that they wanted to record it. And then later on, I had song pluggers. There are people down there who will do this for you. Now, they charge a nominal fee, and then if they get a song recorded, they will take a certain percentage of the profits of that song. So I've done that with some people down there, and I had better success with at least getting it to the people who wanted to hear the songs, the decision makers, but still there was nothing, never was able to make that connection there with it.
So when you say get them to listen to the song, would these be recordings of yourself singing them, or are these the ones that you got somebody else to do?
I would sing the demos, and I started back in the days of cassettes. You know, we're going back a few years. So I had cassettes, and we would take them down, and some people would want to hear them. They would want to keep them. There was a lady down there, Miss Ann Stuckey. She ran a publishing company, and her husband was a recording artist in the 70s, 60s and 70s. And I had a song that she liked well enough to bring home to him to see if he wanted to record it. And he said, I got the tape back in the mail with a note that said he said it was a good song, but it's not commercial. So it just depends on what they were listening for. You had to have something that they knew people would want to hear or would get played on the radio, because that's how they made the money. If a song got played on the radio, then it was going to be heard by people. And if it was heard by people, you know, a friend of mine said, you have to write something that grandmother will get on the bus and go downtown and buy back in those days. And apparently I never had anything like that, but it didn't stop me, and it didn't stop me from writing or going down and pitching. And so I got that song back, and she said it just wasn't commercial, but she liked it. And you get encouragement along the way, enough to where one person told me, he said, you do have potential. He said, we really like this one particular song. But at the time, they were busy with another recording artist, and he said he really didn't have time to get me down there and develop anything. And I wasn't living down there, so I didn't have the time. I was working in radio. I was a disc jockey in Robinson, my hometown. And I would go, it was close enough to Nashville that I could go down just for the day. I could drive down and be there in 4 hours and pitch songs for the day and then come back or stay and pitch them the next day. And that's the way I did it. And eventually, after I came back to it here in the late 90s, I started doing writer's nights and open mics, actually singing down there at the lounges and things. And that's a good way to get your songs out there. But the people that you seem to meet are other songwriters who are trying to do the same thing. So you run into a whole bunch of people who are writing. You know, there are just thousands of people in Nashville who are writing. There are thousands who are singing, thousands who are playing guitar. And you're trying to crack into something there. That's why it's important to be there. You have to get to know people.
And even if you are there, no guarantees.
No guarantees, no.
I'm going to be having a guest on the show later in the week who's been on a few times before, and he's a local to our area, but he is living in Nashville and has for some years now, is Keith Harden. You know, I don't know if you know Keith or not.
Yeah.
But he comes back here a couple or few times a year and sings around and so on. And so we'll be finding out from him how it's gone for him right now, actually living there and having done it for a long time. And I don't think he's ever used the term to pitch songs, but I'm sure that's exactly what he's doing, as well as he's doing some producing, I think, as well. Well, let's hear one of the songs that comes off of that record, Old Dog, New Tricks, 2001, as you said, came out. And do you recall which was the one that somebody said, that this person said, oh, it's a good song, gave it to her husband, and it came back to you?
Well, that one isn't on here.
That's not
no.
on here. Okay, I was just curious if it was. Well, this is the first track that's on here. It's kind of a fun song. It's called Sweet Miss Tequila, and it's a composition by Ray Miner, and you are the singer.
Yes.
In this recording here on Live and Local.
I was having a time with some good friends of mine. Old dogs together, slamming them down, stepping out on the town, friends since forever. But look out for those watering holes that nobody you're with seem to know. In the blink of an eye, all the blue in the sky can become stormy weather. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4 shots of tequila, chasing and laughing and dancing with Las Señoritas. All of a sudden my feet left the floor, and I was flying headfirst through the door, all because of 4 shots and more of that sweet Miss Tequila. At the end of the block in a bar stood a fox, too good to be real of. So I gave her a line, tried to make me some time. She said her name was Sheila. So I said, hello, my name is Ray. Then we heard someone holler, ole. And then as upon cue, we all knew what to do. We all answered tequila. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4 shots of tequila, chasing and a-laughing and dancing with Las Señoritas. All of a sudden my feet left the floor, and I was flying headfirst through the door, all because of 4 shots and more of that sweet Miss Tequila. Tipping a bottle, losing track of the tab and how many we've had, still on full throttle. But the night is now well on its way, tomorrow there'll be hell to pay. But I'm all out of whack and there's no turning back from that sweet Miss Tequila. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4 shots of tequila, chasing and laughing and dancing with Las Señoritas. All of a sudden my feet left the floor, and I was flying at first through the door, all because of 4 shots and more of that sweet Miss Tequila. Yes, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 shots of tequila, chasing and laughing and dancing with Las Señoritas. All of a sudden my feet left the floor, and I was flying head first through the door, all because of 4 shots and more of that sweet Miss Tequila.
Mm-hmm. suddenly reminded me of the Purple People Eater. You remember that song?
At the very
end of the song, the Purple People Eater comes. I think that's what he says, you know.
Tequila
or something like that in this little, chipmunk sort of voice. I imagine that many of our listeners know about that song, the Purple People Eater. That song you just heard really had absolutely nothing to do with that. I just heard that at the end, and that's what it reminded me of. In any event, song called Sweet Miss Tequila by Ray Miner. He's the lead vocalist, and then a bunch of other people joining in here. There's a lot of people on this song, on this CD, involved in this CD. It's called Old Dog, New Tricks, that Ray produced back in 2001, and it was made in Mark Rubel's Pogo Studio, which is also where the new record, which is the reason that he's in here today, and also has vocalist Brianna Kay with him, which we'll be hearing from again coming up. The Christmas, it's called. It's Christmas, and it is indeed Christmas time, and the air is getting more and more full of Christmas songs. And as we get closer to that period, that's more and more okay with me. It's when they started, you know, before Thanksgiving, that I have a little trouble with that. In any event, a lot of people involved there in the various songs. The lead guitar that you heard a couple of solos from, Brian Wilkie, who is somebody who was active in Champaign-Urbana's music community when I first got to town, which was over 20 years ago now. And he went up to Chicago, I think, but I'm not sure what he's doing now. Do you know?
I'm not sure what he's doing. I heard he was still playing, doing that's what he's doing, but I don't know if he's in a band or what, how he's doing things up there.
Well, people do move along. And, of course, you were talking about pitching songs in Nashville and a little bit of how one does that. And you were just telling me as we were listening to that, a story from Brian Wilkie about how capricious this whole business can be. You want to share that with the listeners? I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, Brian, I was asking Brian one time about how do you go about getting songs heard and published and recorded? And he said it happens in any number of ways. And he used to work for someone down there and he told me the story about one time he was on the golf course with this person, and I think it was a publisher, and
Brian was on the golf course with these
other people. And there was another person there who kept trying to get this publisher to record this one song, publish and record this one song. And Brian said, finally, the publisher told him, look, he said, I'll tell you what, if I make this putt, I'll record that song. If I don't make it, I won't. And so Brian said, that's the way it was decided whether that song got recorded or not. And I asked him if the guy made the putt, and he said, you know, I really can't remember. So,
well, you'd think he must not have, otherwise he'd know if his song got recorded.
Yeah, I would think that, yeah, he probably would have remembered it. So that's the way that one was decided.
So in other words, it helps to be down there, as you said earlier, to be able to be in the golf course or be
right.
Getting to know people and so on. When you, if somebody says, let's say from what you may have heard from other people, if somebody says, yes, I'll take a look at this song, and then they express some interest in having it recorded, how do they go about deciding who records it? Or does it have to be the person who wants to record it, meaning, let's say, the person who wants to sing your song? Who has to decide that?
Well, with my experience was that people were listening for specific singers. If there was a song plugger and they had a meeting with someone, that person would be listening specifically to see if there was anything that this singer would want to record. So they would pitch or plug that song to this person's group or that person's group, and if anyone picked up on it, then they would bring it to the next level, and who that next level was, I'm not sure. Eventually, the song would make it to the person who wanted to record, who would be doing the recording. And I know I would get pitch reports from the song pluggers who I was working with, and they would say I made 25 pitches of this song, and there were 12 passes and 13 keeps, and they've taken it to the next level. so that you would have those people then listening to the song again to see if they wanted to pass it on. And somewhere along the line, that singer is going to hear it. But I don't know where along the line that is.
Because you didn't quite make it that far, I guess.
So, but I had songs that, I had a lot of songs that were moved on up the line, but just one that, you know, they couldn't quite get over the hump. And there was one song plugger, he told me this, and I don't know, there's no verification, so I don't know if he was just giving me this to make me feel good or what, but he said, we pitched this to a movie, because he said a lot of times producers or the movies will get in touch with Nashville and say, we need some songs. And he said, there was a song called, I think it's You Got Me Girl, that's on the CD, that was in the final running to be in a movie at one time. And he said there's only about three songs that they're listening to, and this is one of them, but we didn't make it. Yeah, we didn't get the nod. So lost out there.
I sort of like no cigar. The point of that, the analogous situation, I guess, to that many people I'm sure can relate to is when you're just applying for a job and you make it to the phone interview. And that would be one step. And let's say you make it to the in-person interview, which is as close as you can get without getting the job, and then they give it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. I guess it's pretty close to that, I would imagine, if you're just one of three songs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since you mentioned that song, it happened to be one of the ones I made a note of to perhaps play during the program. It's sort of a blues, I guess people would say.
Yeah, well, it's rockabilly. Mark told me beforehand, he said, you know, I've got the person that I want to play this song. And
Mark Rubel.
He said Scotty Ligon was the guy's name. And Scotty's out of Peoria now. I think he's in a band. He's done an awful lot musically. And so we had Scotty Ligon come in to play what we thought was going to be the lead guitar for this song. This is so amazing to me, because when you listen to the song You Got Me Girl, Scotty wound up being the only musician on there. He started out playing the rhythm track. He laid the rhythm down. Then I think he went to the drums and he played the drums for it. And then he put the bass onto it. And then he said, okay, I want to put the piano and the lead guitar on it. And we just kept overdubbing. And so he would bounce back and forth. When he put the lead guitar and the piano on it, he would bounce back and forth. He'd play a little, and then he'd say, okay, let me hear this. And then he'd jump on the guitar and play some of that. He would go back and forth. And the finished product was just incredible. And he hadn't heard the song before he walked into the studio that night. So when you hear this song and you hear the instrumentation on it, it's being done by a guy who... Every instrument on the song is being played by the same guy, and he hadn't even heard the song before he walked into the studio. And Mark and I were just shaking our heads. We'd look at each other and just start laughing. And, man, this is really something. That was quite a night. It was fun to walk out of the studio that night having heard and seen and just witnessed what had happened, and you hear the result. And he did such a good job.
Say that you'll be there, then you never got time. You get picking you up, you keep tossing me down. How much more will I be able to take? It's tough to lose when your heart's at stake. But you got me, girl. Yeah, you got me, girl. Beginning to think that there's something I'm missing. I think it's a shame I'm in love like this. But you got me, girl. Yeah, you got me, girl.
Got Me Girl, the name of the song by Ray Miner, who was the singer here, and as we heard just a bit ago, the rest of the music that you heard was played by a fellow named Scotty Ligon, who was originally just supposed to do the guitar.
Right.
And ended up doing everything. and he sounds pretty good at it all, too. Particularly the piano was a lot of fun to to listen to. That from a CD called Old Dog, New Tricks, which all compositions by Ray Miner, produced and engineered in Mark Rubel's Pogo Studio. Mark now himself in Nashville at Blackbird Studio as one of the folks running the teaching program there, I believe. And we had him on the program a couple of days just before he took off. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, Ray Miner, my guest. And I introduced him at the beginning as the fellow in charge of something called RDSE Records. And I didn't say anything more about it. Based in Rantoul, which is where you live. Mm-hmm. What do the initials stand for?
That's my family, Ray, Donna, Sarah, Emily. Donna's my wife. Sarah and Emily are our children, girls. And so that just, I looked around to see if RDSE had been taken by anything musically, and I couldn't find
anything.
You
wouldn't think so. It's not one of those pronounceable acronyms
that
people would latch on to. But you started that company mostly to put out the Christmas CD.
Exactly.
That we're going to hear a little more from in just a matter of minutes, but also to find somebody to sing it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which you went about how?
Well, on one of my trips to Nashville, I got to know a fellow named George Clinton. Now, there's a piano player named George Clinton. It's not the piano player.
One,
no. George ran Bayou Studios down there in Nashville on Music Row, and he worked with Carol Perdue. And originally I knew Carol because she was a song plugger and she plugged some of my songs. Well, when they would have demos done, they would record them with George at Bayou. So I got to know George. And on one of my trips, George and I were just talking. We were sitting there in his office and he said, what you need to do, Ray, is just start your record label. Sign someone to sing these songs. Well, at the time, that was the furthest thing from my mind. I had a lot on my plate, and I thought, it just kind of blew me away, thinking that I'm going to have a record label. And so over time, though, I kept thinking about that, and I thought, well, why not? Why not do something like that? And so I checked into it, did a little research and what you had to do, and I think it sounds more impressive than what it is because anyone can start a record label. And you just, you know, you're doing business as. It's a business, and you say that's, you do it, you start it. You find your name, what you want to do, and advertise it, and then you're free to sign someone under that label. And that's when I started looking around for a singer. And I'll tell you the way that Brianna and I hooked up. I mentioned earlier that we had a mutual friend, and I had there was another person who was lined up who was going to do this, the singing. And at the very last minute, it just didn't work out. So I was stuck. It was May, June, and that was going to be enough time to get us the time that you need to record an album. We could get the songs recorded, mixed, mastered, pressed, get them back, distribute the song, the CDs. Well, when that fell through, I just kind of went into a tailspin for a while thinking, oh, you know, woe is me. What am I going to do now? And it took me a couple of months to just kind of think it through to see what I really wanted to do. And I thought, well, why not audition some people? So I started doing that. And it just so happened that a friend of ours named Eileen was at the house one day, and she said, you know, I told her what we were doing. Now, it was late. It was over Labor Day. I said, I really have to get on this, though, because we're running out of time to get this done and get it out by Christmas. But I think I still want to do this. And she said, well, you know, I have a friend. Her name's Brianna, and she works with me, and she's singing all the time, and she's a really good singer. Maybe you'd want to listen to her. And as we come to find out, Brianna had a lot of things on YouTube. And so we listened to some of the things on YouTube. And I thought, man, I really like this girl's voice. she's a good singer. And so I asked Eileen if she would talk to her. She said, I'll probably see her tomorrow. I asked if she would talk to her and run up by her, tell her what I'm wanting to do and see if she'd be interested. And so Eileen did, I think, and that's, you know, Brianna can kind of fill us in more on that. But one thing led to another. We got together face to face. We met, went over some of the songs, and it just worked. And that's how then we got started. And we got it out real late that year, but we did get it out in 2011, only about a month before Christmas, and didn't really have much time to do anything with it. Last year we got it out. Did a little more with it. This year, we're just kind of hitting our stride with it and seeing what we want to do and getting the word out there and doing things like this and looking at the marketing end of it, you know, how to advertise it, where do you want to put your advertising dollar, things like that.
Which we may discuss coming up in a little bit. But so, Brianna.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, so good to
I
be
said
here.
Earlier you were going to be on, and now we're finally getting to you after paying attention mostly to Ray up to now. But you want to fill in some of those blanks that he left for you?
It happened just like that. It was, I had worked with Eileen at the library here in town, and I perform and just play some music on YouTube, and you never think anyone's going to hear it. You know, sometimes I would just record a song for a friend and send it to him kind of just as a being nice. But he liked it, and we got together, and I absolutely loved his style of writing. It just seems so, it's simple so that you can sing along with it, but it's not predictable. And I really appreciated that. So just to be asked to come on the project at last minute, I was very fortunate. So,
well, let's hear a sample of the collaboration. This is one of Ray's songs. It's called "Santa's Making His Rounds Tonight," from the CD that is not new. I said earlier that it was new, but we now know it's out a couple years. But as far as you're concerned, if you're interested in it, it's new to you. It's called "It's Christmas," Brianna Kay. And a cast of about 10 here, I guess, or maybe 8 or 10, if I'm counting right, depending on the song, here on Live and Local.
Turning on all of the Christmas tree lights, cookies and milk are sight. I want to catch a glimpse of Santa in flight. He's making his rounds tonight. The reindeer will carry him in his sleigh. He's got an awful lot to do in only one day.
a bunch of surprises are heading our way. Santa's making his rounds tonight. He's up in the air and then down on the ground, visiting every little village and town, doing his work without making a sound. Santa's making his rounds tonight.
Santa's making his rounds tonight. Branna Kay on the CD. It's Christmas here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Drummer Josh Quirk, who is active in Champaign-Urbana. Lead guitarist Jerry Erickson. Where's he? Is he working right around here?
He works here in town. And I know Jerry's in different bands. He does a lot of playing around, too.
And we didn't have a trumpet on that one.
No.
I don't think. Mark Rubel playing bass, who was the guy who recorded the thing. I didn't know that he very often played on his own
own
records.
Well, whenever we would do anything with Mark, he would sit there after the recording was done. He would add the bass. He would just sit there at his chair at the console and add the bass to the songs. Mm. And he would ask who do you want me to beat your bass? I said, well, you want to play the bass? He said, sure, I can do that stuff. So he said, I can put it on. So Mark would just add it afterwards.
I guess you can do that, especially if it's your studio. Yeah. And then you're playing rhythm guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Did we have piano on that one? I guess we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was Chrissy Rigsby.
Mm-hmm. And that heard on Live and Local, where our program is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's music heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled On the Road Again, Cruising Coast to Coast with America's Music. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. By the way, speaking of the Sousa Archives, we had a feature last week in which Scott Schwartz, who's director of the archives, and Center for American Music, came with the band directors of the three public high schools here in Champaign-Urbana to talk about a concert that they were all doing at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign last Saturday. I got a chance to go to that concert, and it was really enjoyable. So congratulations to all the students in those bands and to those directors. And it was my first time to actually see the newly renovated auditorium, which I hadn't been there since they finished it earlier this year. And so very nice evening, and I imagine those others of our listeners who might have been there felt the same way. So marketing a CD, you know, we've now talked about pitching songs, mm-hmm. but marketing something, you know, when you have a record company that is, I assume, is essentially you. Mm-hmm. And the rest of your family.
Yeah.
How do you go about it?
Well, you get someone like Brianna who knows a lot about the internet, and you turn her loose and say, "What's out there?" And honestly, the way things are today, you have to have an internet presence because that's where you know this is available locally, but it's on the internet where everything is downloaded. You know, it's downloaded on iTunes and Amazon and CD Baby. And Brianna really is very astute about the internet and advertising, and so I've just kind of left that up to her, and she has ideas, and she does an excellent job at making commercials, and that's what, you know, even she's going to school for this type of thing, and her interest is there, talent level is there, she's a photographer, so I just kind of say, Brianna, what do you think? And she takes it from there.
So in other words, you were not only auditioning a singer, you were auditioning a marketer, somebody to sell her own records.
This was one of those. This is one of the perks that just happened to come along with it that I, you know, didn't even think about. It's, you get started with something and you find out people have all of these other abilities and talents, and it was one of those that just happened. She just happened to possess all of these talents and skills and the knowledge. And so we just kind of went to work. We really worked out as a team on this over the last couple of years with kind of tuning in, fine-tuning what we want to do and where we want to go and how we want to get there.
You mentioned CD Baby. That is a website where both of you have presence, cdbaby.com. And reminder that I'm talking with Ray Miner of RDSE Records, who put out this CD, and Brianna Kay, of course, who's the vocalist. Both of them have presences there. That is a website specifically for independent song producers who haven't, who aren't otherwise signed to a label. Is
correct.
That kind of the gist
mm-hmm.
of it?
That's right. Yeah, it's a lot of independent people. And it was, I'm not sure how it got started, who started it. The person who started CD Baby no longer owns it. It was sold. And I don't know how many people are on it now, but just thousands of artists are on CD Baby. And that's, you can have a page. You can go check out, you know, www.cdbaby.com. And do a search for Brianna Kay or Ray Miner, and the page will be there. And you can read about us, and you can order the music or download it or, you know, whatever you want to do.
Is that one of those sites where, I mean, I know you can buy the records mm-hmm. there. I think some of these you can actually download some of the songs for free. Is that one or not that one?
Not this one. Mm-hmm. No, CD Baby isn't. It's. I mean, if you wanted to download a song, I think it's 99 cents, kind of like iTunes or Amazon.
Right.
The CD itself can be purchased as a CD or downloadable. You can download all 10 songs if you wanted to, or you could order the CD from there, and they would send one to you. So you can do either one with that.
You haven't produced an LP for this one, though, have you? You would know.
No.
Yeah. I only ask because that seems to be a bit of a trend lately, is mm-hmm. for particularly, it seems to me, younger musicians to want their music to come out on LP, mm-hmm. which seems to me almost, well, certainly counterintuitive to the way my intellect would have yeah. worked, that the younger folks wouldn't even know what a record player is, but... Mm-hmm. I guess this is sort of the boutique way of putting your records out, or yeah. something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I would. I'm certainly not thinking along those lines now at this
well,
point.
Well, it does add expense to the production. On this CD are not only some of your own originals. There's 10 songs altogether. About 6 of them, I guess, are originals, and mm-hmm. then there's 4 of them that are familiar Christmas mm-hmm. tunes. How did you go about making the arrangements of the familiar tunes? Are they your arrangements, Ray? Or?
Well, Brianna and I both kind of got together on the arrangements and found, you know, we would find the right key and then we just kind of work something out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the ideas, she had some ideas that we incorporated, and, you know, because she said, this is the way I'm feeling this song, and we would go with that.
Yeah.
And then what about the instrumentals? Did the instrumentalists who participate, did they essentially chime in and say, I'm going to do this on this song?
Well, we more or less had what we wanted to do ahead of time. There was only, I think, one song we really were clueless when we walked in how we wanted to do something. But the other three covers, we had an idea of what we wanted to do how we wanted it to sound before we went into the studio. But within that framework, the musicians have, what they wanted to do was up to them. They had their own creative input on how, the solos would come about. We would know that we want a piano solo here, for instance, and Chrissy the Rigsby, who is the piano player on a lot of these, just would take it from there. And she is so good that
yes.
You just sit back and listen and say, wow, Chrissy, thank you. That's really great. And that happened with Jerry Erickson on guitar, and DJ Morton is a trumpet player who was on one of the songs, I Like the Way I Feel This Time of Year. DJ just made that song so mellow. So, we had different people who they're just, the talent level is so good around here that they can do that. You just turn them loose and say, let's see what you come up with.
Well, that's one of the many reasons it's important to get good musicians, because your musicians can help.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be careful of that term, because I've often heard people refer to, this is an aside to what I was saying, I've often heard people to say the singers and the musicians. So I actually don't like it. There shouldn't be any such distinction, because singers are also musicians, Brianna. So I should say the instrumentalists, choosing your instrumentalists, but your musicians overall. I mean, obviously, you chose Brianna. They're going to make or break your record, or they potentially. And as you said, thanks to Chrissy Rigsby for what I gather is quite a wonderful piano solo in this cover of a familiar Christmas carol. Mm-hmm.
God rest you merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power. When we have gone astray, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. God rest you merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father the blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. He saved us all from Satan's power with his redeeming grace. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we have gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, arranged by the performers, essentially. Ray Minor, who is the producer of the record and the composer of most of the songs on the CD, which is called It's Christmas, and then Brianna Kay, your vocalist, and mentioned the piano work of Chrissy Rigsby, also the drum work of Josh Quirk, and others involved in that performance. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Visiting with Ray Minor of RDSE Records in Rantoul and Brianna Kay, who, did you come up here just for this today? Surely not.
Oh, no. I was in town to visit some friends, and so I was happy to, more than happy to come in and visit.
is so school's done there?
I actually don't start school until January, but I just moved down there and started working at the news station.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It seems like sometimes the best things are said while we're listening to the music that the audience is listening to. And we were talking a little bit about how earlier we were talking about marketing of CDs and this CD in particular. And as we were listening, Ray and Brianna and I talking about getting songs played on the radio. And so, Ray, if you don't mind, repeat some of that. Where is some of this music being played off on this CD, and how did you get it there?
Well, it's being played on internet radio stations, the Christmas stations. I know Brianna's on Pandora. There's a 365 Live is a group of internet radio stations that play different music, and one of them is a 24/7 Christmas station. It's on there. That one's out of Virginia. And there's another one out of Boston that some of the songs are on. The Netherlands, there's a person there who plays some of the songs.
But these are kind of Christmas.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
Christmas what?
Well, they're Christmas
playing more or less services, or
all year long. Christmas radio is what it is on the internet, and so you can if you went to Googled Live 365 and went to and did a search for Christmas 24/7, you'd find that radio station streaming, and Brianna's all of the album is on that station. Others will just play one song. The station out of Boston just took one cut and has put that on their playlist. So to get that, I just email people. I try to, if I find out that there's a station out there that plays Christmas music all the time, I just send them an email and explain who I am and that we have a record out. It's got some originals on it. It has some covers, well-known covers. And I ask if they would allow me to send them an MP3 to see if they would like to hear more. And most of them are very willing to do that. They'll say, sure, why don't you send us two or three? Send us a cover and a couple of originals or something, and then they might come back and say, hey, we like these. Would you want to send us the rest of it?
So what's in it for you? Do they pay you to have it on there, or it's to your advantage to get it on there because other people will hear it and then they'll go?
That's it, mostly. You're not really getting paid for it. It's mostly the exposure that people are going to hear it, and that's what you hope for. That's what we do this is. We think we have some good songs, and we want people to hear it. Mm-hmm. And part of the best way to do that is through radio.
Hence, here you are.
Yeah. Here we are.
Yeah. And if you are interested in It's Christmas, the name of the CD with Brianna Kay and Ray Minor's songs, you can find it on cdbaby.com. Search for Brianna Kay, BRIANAKAY. Or Ray Minor, MINER. And is your old dog New Tricks on there also?
Well, you can it's downloadable, but the album itself, they wouldn't send you a physical copy
right,
of it.
But you can get get the music mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate your letting me know about this and taking the time to come in and pitch the CD.
All right. There we go.
Plug the CD.
Just like Music Row.
Just like Music Row in Nashville. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you here on the show, and we'll go out with one more in just a second here on Live and Local. Let me mention some events you can see and hear live in our listening area over the next couple of days. This is Monday, so that means jazz pianist Donnie Heitler is playing at Menechi's at the Crossing in Champaign this evening at 6 o'clock. The weekly Good Old Fashioned Hootenanny is happening at the Rose Bowl Tavern in downtown Urbana. That'll be at 8 o'clock. And there's a bluegrass jam at Donnie's Homespun Pizza in Decatur tonight at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow, continued performances of A Christmas Story at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. That's tomorrow, 7:30. They've got two performances on Wednesday at 2 and at 7:30. And then under the weekend as well. The Parkland College Early Jazz Ensemble is at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And the In Your Ear Jazz Band, a big band, will be at also at the Iron Post Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. And then there's a jazz jam at 10 o'clock on Wednesday night. Keith and Kathy Harden will be at Clark Bar in Champaign Wednesday evening at 6:30. And both Keith and Kathy scheduled to be here on Live and Local, playing for us live in the studio on Thursday. And looking forward to that, Keith's annual visit from Nashville back here to Champaign-Urbana. I'm Kevin Kelly. Appreciate your joining us for the program today. This is 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Here's another of the originals off of It's Christmas. This one is called Christmas on the Beach this year, and you don't often hear steel drums on the records anymore, but Dave Madden is playing them here on Live and Local.
Christmas, even where it doesn't snow, it's warm here. I've left behind the cold, the sunshine, feels warm enough to tan, and the white stuff that I'm walking through is sand. It's Christmas on the beach this year, tough to take, I know. There's sunlight on the water and sand between my toes. Santa's sleigh must now display pontoon landing gear, 'cause it's Christmas on the beach this year. Christmas tree, it's planted right here on the beach, and these tan lines, my, are getting hard to hide. It's time to turn and get the other side. It's Christmas on the beach this year, tough to take, I know. There's sunlight on the water and sand between my toes. Santa's sleigh must now display pontoon landing gear, 'cause it's Christmas on the beach this year. It's Christmas on the beach this year, tough to take, I know. There's sunlight on the water and sand between my toes.